Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. How many of you put your Christmas tree up already? Let's say the tree's already up. Awesome. You've got a head start, which is great. We don't have ours up yet. My wife spent all weekend doing 6 or 7 trees here and all the decorating here, so we don't have ours up yet. But those of you with trees up, what is your color scheme, or do you just have a hodgepodge of absolutely everything? Cameron, what's your tree look like? Red, white, and blue. Red, white, and blue. Awesome. Patriotic tree, huh? Fantastic. Anybody else? What's your tree like? Yes?
Purple and teal.
Purple and teal. That's out of the ordinary, so great for you. Awesome. Cody looks thrilled about it. Anybody else? What colors? Yes, Tony.
Plain white.
Plain white tree. Fantastic. Rob? Nice. Hey, easy to decorate that way, right? Yeah. It must have took you a while, I bet, to find that one bulb. So it's always fun and interesting to hear about the different traditions that people have with decorating their tree. Now, usually my wife and daughters will decorate our tree, mostly my wife, I think, but I'll help get everything up from the basement. We'll carry it up. My wife will decorate the tree, and then once the tree's decorated, she turns off all the lights, and she wants to just sit in the dark and admire the tree and to see how beautiful that it is. It's kind of amazing how much light a Christmas tree can put off. How many of you would raise your hand and say, I'm afraid of the dark? We have anybody in here? We got some in here that are honest. I'm afraid of the dark. All right. I'm not afraid of the dark. How many of you would say, not only am I not afraid of the dark, but I love the dark? All right. We have a few of you. Got a Bible verse for you. John 3:19 says you love darkness rather than light because your deeds are evil. So I took note of every single one of you that raised your hand, so I know who the evil ones are here this morning. Now, I'm frequently in this building alone in the dark. Whether it's getting up very early in the morning before the light comes off and trying to make my way through the dark, or most often it's late at night, and I come through, shut off all the lights, and I live across the street over here, so I always make my way through this way, through the dark. And that's always interesting because I know I've been at this church long enough to about know where everything is. But a lot of times throughout the week, there's kids and whatever else through here. So I kind of like blindly try to stumble my way, not like hit a pew and not trip over some junk and make my way outside to where the streetlights and everything are at. And sometimes that can be a challenge. Now, this time of year, I love it because we have the Christmas trees that light the way. I have no problem seeing when I came in bright and early this morning to find my way around. And, you know, many times in our lives, we're like me trying to find my way out of this creepy building in the dark. And it is creepy in here in the dark. If you've not been in this building when it's complete dark by yourself, you're missing quite an experience with Jesus because your prayer life goes through the roof at that point. Every noise you hear, Jesus, keep me safe. But our lives a lot of time are like me trying to stumble around in the dark. And we've all been there at different places in our life where we're trying to make it through some place, not really being able to see, knowing kind of where we want to go, and then stumbling our way to get there. Life is full of uncertainty. And uncertainty can be a very unsettling thing. Let me see, where's my teenagers at? Teenagers, raise your hand. Let me see where you're at. All right, glad to have you guys in our service this morning. And, you know, when you think about the future as a teenager, it can be kind of scary at times. Well, most of you teenagers probably never admit it, But when you think about driving, that can be kind of a scary thing. Or you think about leaving home, the safety of home, and going off to college and all those sorts of things, trying to pick a major. And there's a lot in the life of a teenager that can be very uncertain. And what step should I take next? You know, for those of you who are in college, there often comes some questions. You know, am I in the right relationship? Is this the right career path for me? Where will I find a job after school is done? And it can feel sometimes, and I remember it, like you're stumbling in the darkness, trying to find your way. How many of you are raising kids right now? All right, God bless you. Man, got some parents in here. And I commend you. Raising kids is like walking in darkness with a landmine of Legos all around you. Every step can be painful at times if you're not careful. But you think about being a parent, and there's a lot of things that race through our mind as a parent. You know, am I disciplining my child enough? Am I disciplining my child too much? Am I making the right choices for my children? And a thousand other questions and second guesses about parenting. That's why I always suggest having more than one child. You can make all the mistakes on the first one. And by the second, third, fourth, you've got it down. Sorry, Catherine. But it can be a very, very unsettling thing. Being a parent, just not knowing. Seniors, and those who don't want to admit they're seniors. We've got a good crowd of those. It could be a scary time of life. I mean, so much changes so quickly between health and family and kids moving away and all those sorts of things. That can feel basically like Apple's new TV show called C. And it's about a civilization where they're all blind. And they're out wandering the countryside, blind, trying to find their way around. The precept of the show is very dumb. But that's the way life feels like sometimes. We're just kind of wandering around. Thankfully, we don't have to always see the path or know where to go because we have a God who does. After all, He created light in the first place. We read that verse here. Let's read it again in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. It says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Now, you're there towards the end of your Bible. Turn to the front of your Bible in Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1. Paul references the fact that God commanded light to shine out of darkness. And we see that right at the beginning of our Bible. The very first verse of Genesis chapter number 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Now notice verse number 2, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Verse 3 says, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day. And the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." So here we have a world that is just in utter darkness, and out of the darkness, God cries, "Light be. Let there be light." That's what He says. And I love the commentary that Moses records for us that when God said, "Let there be light," there was light. Because whatever God says and commands to happen is going to happen. Now, what's fascinating to me is there won't be a sun, moon, and stars for 3 more days. Look down at your Bible there to verse number 14. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser night, or lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So day one, God cries out of the darkness, let there be light, but there's no sun or moon, no stars, until three more days have passed. You say, how in the world could that be? One day, if we know Jesus is our Savior, we're going to live in a city that has no need of the sun or the moon. Now, that's kind of hard for us to grasp in our minds, but one day God said we're going to live in a city that He's prepared for us, named New Jerusalem. In Revelation chapter number 21, all the way at the end of your Bible, verse 23 says, and the city, talking about New Jerusalem, had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. Notice this, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. In Revelation 22, verse number 5, it says, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. See, they're not necessary, because God will be the light of that city. So, God didn't need the sun and the moon to shine light, because He is light. 1 John 1:5 states it very definitively. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Amen. Speaking about Jesus Himself, said this of Himself in John 8, verse number 12. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And one of the things that Jesus notes, and you see it at the end of that verse, that He says that we in and of ourselves walk in darkness. Our spiritual lives are no different than in the beginning before God said, let there be light. It's darkness. And Jesus says, if you don't want to walk in darkness, then you have to have the light. Now, people look all over the place to try to find light. They look to church to give them light in their life. Some people look to baptism. I trust in baptism, and that's going to illuminate my life. Some people turn to religion. Religion doesn't do anything but bring more darkness. You need a relationship with the light of the world. That's what you need. That's what I need. But people look to that. Some people look to money. Man, if I just had enough money, my path would just lay out right in front of me. Some people look for power. They look for fame. We live in a society today where everybody wants fame. Man, I don't want fame. I've seen the trouble that it brings to so many people, even to good people. I mean, when you get famous, people dig up things that happened 30 years ago. I don't want that. I know what I did 30 years ago. I'm trying to forget it. But some people think if I have the fame, if I have the power, if I have the influence, then that will light my way. But God is the only true source of light. If you walk in light, instead of wandering in the darkness, you need to look to Him if that's what you want. And we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 here, and you notice as he's talking, he's going to make a comparison. Okay, he says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. So he wants us to understand the person that he's talking about. Talking about the God who created the world. The God who in the darkness said, "Let there be light." And suddenly, there was light. This is the God that we're talking about. And he says that very same God who spoke light into that darkness, verse 6 says, hath shined in our hearts, talking about light, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So he says, this very same God who in the physical creation cried out, "Let there be light," and there was light, he's the one that has the ability to bring us spiritual light. And just as he had the physical light shine, and he doesn't need the sun, and he doesn't need the moon and the stars and anything else to bring light because he is light, that very same God can and will shine light into your life, will shine light into your circumstances. What an amazing thought that is. You know, being a teenager is tough. I'm glad I'm not a teenager today. I've thought about this a lot. With social media and everything else, I definitely would not be doing what I'm doing right now. Because all the things I would have posted online, all the videos and everything else, there's no way anybody would have me be their pastor. It's impossible. So I'm glad there's not the evidence there, or you have to dig really hard to find it. It's tough. I mean, there's so many influences that bombard them all the time, everywhere they go. It could be a difficult thing. Try to find your way. But teens, God can shine light into your life. The very same God who said, "Let there be light in that darkness," can look into your life and say, "Let there be light." And he could show you, hey, this is the way for you to go. This is the direction I want you to take your life. This will be a great place for you to go to school. This is the career, the major I want you to have. God can speak that light into your life. You have to look to him for light. Young adults, you're worried about relationships. You're worried about careers. God wants to speak light into your life. You have to ask him to. God, I need direction. I need light. I'm so thankful for the promise that he gave that if we lack wisdom, we can ask God and he'll give it to us freely. So I don't always have all the answers. I don't always know the next step that I need to take. But he says, if you will ask me, then I will show you. So if you need that light, ask God for light. He promised to reveal it to you. Parents, questioning every decision, doubting whether you're doing things right for your children. God has the light you're looking for. Turn to him. Seniors, and all the changes that are going on in your life. Probably no group in life that has more change come faster than our dear seniors. And it feels like the slower our bodies get, the faster everything else gets. Technology and schedules and time and everything else just seems to speed right up. And I understand that can be an unsettling thing. And it can feel like wandering around in the darkness. Man, which way do I go? Where is the right decision? What do I do now? Where do I go from here? Very same God who said, "Let there be light" in the beginning, can look down in your life. He's not forgotten you. He's not overlooked you. He's waiting for you to look to him so he can speak down into your life and say, "Let there be light." In that circumstance, in that moment, and provide the direction that you need. I mean, you think about everything that God has done since that very moment. Let there be light. He's been in absolute control the entire time. And there's times where things look uncertain. There's times where it appears that nobody's in control. Listen, God has not lost control. He's not lost control of this world. He's not lost control of your life. But sometimes I do believe that God will allow us to stumble in darkness to get us to a point where we're ready and willing to see the light that He has for us. Imagine the confidence we can have in God, even when you don't see your next step. We don't have to see the next step to have confidence that this is the one that God has for me. We just have to have confidence in the God that we're looking to. My wife is afraid of the dark. And there are times where we're working, and especially this time of year, the sun goes, it feels like the sun is never up. But it's late here, and it's dark. And, of course, turn all the lights off. It's pitch black. And my wife is scared. And what she'll do is she'll grab onto my shoulder. She grabs my shoulder and makes sure I'm in front of her, in case the boogeyman or somebody else is here. And I will lead her out the door. Now, I'm not always the nicest person. I'm rarely the nicest person. Okay, I'm never the nicest person. So, a lot of times, as I'm leading her out in the darkness, I will shout, "Ah!" And of course, she will just scream at the top of her lungs, wondering what in the world's happened, and hasn't learned in over 25 years that nothing's happening, I'm just scaring you. But that's the way that each of us should be with God in those unsure moments. In those moments where it feels like darkness and I don't know what step to take, we need to grab a hold of the one who does know. The one who says, "Let there be light." So I don't exactly know what the circumstances in your life where you need light and direction, but I guarantee you have it. We all have areas of our life where we're unsure what the next step means for us. So I want to encourage you, as I try to encourage myself, to get a hold of God. Seek His face. Seek His guidance. And the same God who called light to shine out of darkness can and will shine into those moments in your life as well. Let there be light.